you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good Thursday morning to you, my friends. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. It's a beautiful day, and I can feel that shift about to happen. I can see almost like rain in the forecast. Looking right now, Saturday and Sunday is going to cool down quite a bit. In fact, today is going to be about 10 degrees cooler, 67 degrees, and currently at the KSLM studios, it's 56. Tomorrow about 70 degrees, and then really the rain hits Saturday, Sunday, Monday, possibly into Tuesday. Temperatures in the high 50s, low 60s, still about 50 degrees overnight, which is mild and not too bad. But if you were planning on doing something outside this weekend, be sure to bring your umbrella and your rain gear, and we invite that. I'm excited to have some rain, and I know that we have been drier than normal. And usually people think of Oregon, they think, oh, you've got to almost have web feet, right? But this summer has been extraordinary, certainly in all realms, but with the weather, it's something to look forward to have a little bit of that rain in the forecast. We are excited to have a great morning plan. I do want to give an update. If you listened to the show yesterday, of course, it was a great 2 hours back-to-back talking with Amy Ryan Corser. That show is now up on the podcast. So if you go to our website, kslm.news, and do the drop-down box, you can find it there. But if you want a shortcut, go to our Facebook page, because early this morning I posted the links to both hours on our Facebook page. And be sure to share that link with your social networks and make sure you let your friends know to listen to Amy and get the word out about her. And as we go through the next couple weeks, we're going to also have other candidates in. We're going to start talking a little bit about the issues that are before us on the ballot and get educated and informed about what's happening in our community. And it's so important to stay connected, right? Even though we still have some distance, we're still not quite doing all the things that we would normally do in the fall. And I saw a pretty funny meme. In fact, it's like, you know what? Why are we asking the government if we can have Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas? It's not up to them, right? So I think we continue to plan and move ahead and looking forward and do those things in our lives that are important to each of us and our families, and just do them safely and be smart about it. And I think we'll be better for it, don't you? Thank you for your feedback. Thank you for your encouragement. I want to tell you, hour two today is going to be a good hour, as we're going to have FEMA representatives on the air at 8 o'clock talking about how to help families and businesses impacted by the fire. So I'm looking forward to that. That'll be via the phone lines. But here in the studio this morning, we're going to get to that here in just a minute. We have Baron and Kicking Cancer and Nick in the studio. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. I want to remind you, if you've not had an opportunity to join in with a Capital City Republican Women, they have a meeting today at 11:45 at the Salem Scottish Rite Center. And then on Saturday, there's a candidate meet and greet at the Wildman Farms. That's off of Ellendale Road in Dallas. That's from 2 to 5. So if you want an opportunity to meet candidates face-to-face, I encourage you to attend that on this Saturday. And then 40 Days for Life continues on in their mission to build awareness and pray for the end of abortion. 40 Days for Life goes through November 1st at Planned Parenthood right here in Salem from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., looking for participants to pray alongside of others as we continue to pray for the end of abortion. And then on October 17th, which we're going to get into more details here in just a minute, is the Love and Run and Walk here at the Salem-Kaiser Volcano Stadium. Check-ins at 8 a.m. We encourage you to bring your team of 12 walking in honor of your loved one that's been impacted by cancer. To get involved, kickingcancer.org/ programs. And so in an effort to be encouraged, engaged in our community and know what's going on, I love to have Kicking Cancer in the studio pretty much once a month. Sometimes we get them in a couple times a month. It's kind of my charity. I'm very life-minded. So besides the work of the Pregnancy Center and those on the front lines defending the unborn, the other part that I'm really big about is my hope and dream is to eradicate cancer, that it's a word that we're not even familiar with. And even just this last week, I've had friends that have been diagnosed, friends that just finished chemo treatment, a friend that died 2 weeks ago. I mean, it's something that has impacted each and every one of us, and I know it's close to all of our hearts. And if we know we can do something about it, why wouldn't we get involved? And so here in the studio, I have Baron Robinson. Good morning, Baron. Thank you for being a part of the morning show this morning.
Good morning. Good to be back.
How you doing today?
Doing good.
So we've had a lot going on this year with the pandemic. We've had a lot of families impacted by their schedule upended, work schedules, working from home, trying to work from home, what to do about the kids, trying to get them educated. Everybody is just kind of in a tailspin and somewhat trying to make some normalcy out of it. And all along, Kicking Cancer is a fairly new organization trying to get the word out, trying to reach families impacted by cancer. And Baron, I have to throw this out. I've been really concerned because I've heard some stories recently where because of COVID-19, diagnosis has been late for many individuals, finding out that they have cancer. Treatment plans have been delayed. And you know how important it is that once someone has identified that they have cancer, that they get after it in many cases and develop a plan. What are you hearing about this?
Well, there's one story I want to get into a little bit later, but and it's our current GO team. And mm-hmm. again, we can talk more about that in a little bit. But the other one happened right here in Salem. And it's a member of our board, and it's his uncle. And it just, when he told me the whole thing, I was just flabbergasted. His uncle goes into Salem Hospital with lung cancer. Mm-hmm. His cousin's with the uncle. Somewhere in the middle, right before the pandemic began to get bad, she went home to get a change of clothes because it was going to be a really long stay. When she gets back, now the hospital's locked down, and they would not let her back in with her dad because, you know, of the COVID.
Right.
One of the big challenges when you get that diagnosis is the psychological effect, the fact that you have cancer. And it was stage four. He didn't have long. They already knew that. That's why he was at the hospital. She had to fight really hard to get the administration to let her back into her own father. It was about 10, 14 days. And in that time, he had given up his will to live. And he wound up passing from lung cancer. And she found out later that they stamped the death certificate COVID.
You know, the crazy thing about that, and even just recently, 4 or 5 days ago, we have a friend back in Arkansas who lost his wife. She had, we think, some tumors and things, but they never were able to get in there and discover what it was because of COVID regulations and surgeries, and all of that was put on hold because it wasn't essential, I guess. Anyway, long story short, through her doctoring, somehow she got COVID because they were pretty protective of her health. And the husband got online after she had passed. She passed and said, look, this is not a COVID death. Yes, it's something she had, but we believe she actually died of whatever this other thing was. And so it's very muddled and confusing. And the part that's, I'm so glad that we're here to talk today, and we brought Nick in, and we'll get into that a little bit more here, is that support system, that isolation, I think it adds momentum, not only to the fact that you can't get the treatment and get the diagnosis accurately and get the treatment you need, but then your loved ones can't be around you if you do get into the hospital and need some hospital care. You can't be there and add that emotional support. That isolation is really problematic, I think.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I'm glad you're here. I mean, these are things that I've been thinking about and kind of heavy on my heart. And again, lots to pray about, right? But we can do something. And that's what I love about Kicking Cancer. The actual business name is the nonprofit name is We Are the Solution.
Yeah.
And I'm big about what can we do to be a part of the solution. So let's remind folks real quick, and we've got about 3 minutes in this segment left. Let's remind kind of the starting of Kicking Cancer and maybe introduce Nick.
So 2.5 years ago, I had decided to do this thing called the Warrior Dash with my sister Brenda. It's about a 3-mile run over in Canby. And I went to work at Costco and I started talking to some coworkers, and Nick was one of them. And so I said, hey, let's go do this in support of her. And we wound up having 42 people. But I think it'd be interesting for you to hear Nick's perspective on how he got involved with this.
Good morning, Nick. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Yes. So tell me, how did you get involved with Kicking Cancer?
Well, I'd worked with Byron for a few years before he'd even approached me on this. Mm-hmm. And one day he came up to me and asked if I wanted to do this race. And I said, yeah, my family and I would love to do this in support of cancer. And so we showed up. We got our t-shirts, we all got a big picture, and to be honest, when you first start out with something like that, you're thinking, I don't know how big this is going to get, because all we're doing is we're getting ourselves in front of a camera, we're getting a picture, maybe a post on Facebook. But over the next 2.5 years, I've noticed that Byron has made this his passion. This is his life. I mean, he is the face of Kicking Cancer now, in my opinion. And I've had several people in my life since this 2018 that have actually gotten cancer, and my uncle actually just died this year from cancer.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's really hit home with me. Like our coworker ended up with double breast cancer a couple years back, and I was really close friends with her, and it just really opened my eyes to the effect that he can have to other people, and it's been wonderful.
And it really is something that it's practical, and it's in support day-to-day life. I mean, I just saw on Facebook a couple days ago, in fact, someone had posted, pray for so-and-so. He's just been diagnosed, and he's got a young family. And I just said, hey, do you know about Kicking Cancer? Are they in Oregon? And I want to say we're launching here in the Pacific Northwest, but I see this as a rapid growth throughout the country and maybe the nations as far as developing home-based support teams that can be active, can do fundraising, because one of the elements that I love about Kicking Cancer is that we have the ability to do matching funds. So when people donate to Kicking Cancer, there's a fund. Then if the community wants to hold an auction or some sort of fundraiser, they can apply and match those funds, and those efforts grow and the awareness builds, and it really is effective in bringing that support element. And that's a great part of the program, isn't it, Byron?
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of funny, Nick knocked this up, but when we got done with that race, it was fun. And you know, Brenda flew up here, and I don't think she knew a single person there. And she walks up, and here's 46 people in, we call it Pepto pink shirts, that were not pink when we got done. They were very, very brown. but she realized they were supporting her fight. And then all of a sudden we said, let's support one of our own coworkers.
Yeah.
And we did the Spartan Race.
I love it. Making a difference right here at home and all across the states, I believe.
It's growing quickly.
Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, talking with Byron and Nick about Kicking Cancer in the Donkey, right?
Yeah, that's us.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. KSLM news that you can use on this Thursday and every day already. October 8th, 2020 at 7:22 in the morning. Good morning. I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be hanging out with you. Hey, I just got this alert I wanted to share with you. If you're a parent here in Oregon, there's a state board meeting being held October 15th. And we want to make sure you email your comments to be put into the minutes. This is a great opportunity for you to give impact and input on what's going on as you're trying to educate your kids from home. And maybe you're doing part in school, depending on where you live in Oregon, and part at home, and all of the challenges. Keep speaking up for your families and your children. More and more schools are sending out notices stating that they're going to delay school, in-person school, until February. Wow. So I just don't know. I think this is a little bit unacceptable. What do you think? So you want to email instateboard.publicemail@ode.state.org.us. I'll put this up on the Facebook page as well. We need to email the state board and let them know in a whole bunch, just this huge amount of flooding to this meeting, so that they know, like, nope, this isn't okay. We better come up with some better solutions when it comes to family. And we know the pandemic has caused all kinds of craziness as far as schooling, and right now we're talking about cancer and medical care. And I've got Baron Robinson and Nick in the studio with Kicking Cancer. And one of the concerns that I have, and I've been watching these stats, and I want to remind you, listeners, when we hear from the evening news or the morning news, the mainstream media, and we keep hearing, oh, these numbers, we had 300 cases, and we've had all of these cases, I want to remind you, don't forget, those numbers also include presumptive. They're not confirmed cases. They're presumptive, and they don't go back and adjust those. Very troubling to me. I'd like to know, like, you know, out of the 300, how many really were confirmed that day? And how are they coming to this number? And they're making all of these decisions, and they're stating that it's as we move into this quote-unquote flu season, you know, where people are more indoors, and all of this, I'm just really concerned. And we've lost over 500 Oregonians in this time period due to the pandemic. And you've heard me talk about this already, and talking about the life. I was shocked to find out during that same time period, we've lost 3,300 plus children to abortion in a time where many essential services aren't being done, particularly cancer patients. They're considered non-essential right now, and it's their life and death and getting a handle on it. And those are being delayed. And yet abortion, it seems so insincere to me. We're all concerned about this pandemic, and yet the most vulnerable in the womb that needs our protection, not protected. It doesn't make sense. So in this same time frame, I asked Baron, let's get into some statistics. Baron, I want to know, like, the projections of how many will be diagnosed or possibly will die in Oregon of cancer this year. And then I want to talk about the financial part of it.
Okay. So this is from the American Cancer Society's website.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a prediction for this year. The number of Oregonians predicted to die from cancer is 8,260.
Wow.
That's about the size of Staten.
That's incredible.
And we're into October, so we're most way through the year. We probably won't have the exact numbers until sometime next year, but that's the prediction this year. Every year that I've gone back, the prediction and the actual are pretty darn close.
Well, make fun of it, but the reality is it could be this year everybody dies of COVID and not of anything else. I mean, a lot of times you'll hear that in the numbers, in the stats, how they're tracking this, you'll hear having other symptoms or other health issues, but they died of COVID.
Right.
And I'm wondering, how are they tracking that?
Yeah, well, and like the example I gave a little bit ago, mm-hmm. you know, it was lung cancer that killed him, but because it was in his lungs,
right.
they stamped it COVID.
Unbelievable.
So the other scary stat is this is predicted new cases.
Right.
23,330 new cases of cancer. That's the entire town of Newburgh.
In Oregon. And again, I'm thinking, in this pandemic and all this craziness with not getting the medical care that they need, if 23,000 people are diagnosed with it, what's their treatment? How are they getting help? How are they getting support?
And nationwide, mm-hmm. 1.8 million new cases of cancer.
It's just unacceptable.
Yeah.
And then we talk about the cost, right? The financial cost and the burden on the families. And if they're blessed to have a good medical plan, right, insurance and things through their employer, some of those costs, maybe a big chunk of them will be covered. But there's a lot of incidental costs that don't get covered. And yeah. You were kind of telling me a quote about the cost of this.
Well, and this makes so much sense. So again, I reference this book called Chris Beat Cancer. Chris Wark had stage 4 colon cancer and beat it. But he calls it the financial toxicity. And he says for most patients, the cancer treatment conveyor belt involves, now you just think about this, office visits, blood tests, CT and PET scans, surgical procedures, radiation therapy, chemotherapy, and additional drugs for the side effects of the treatment. You've got emergency room visits, hospital stays, physical therapy, cosmetic procedures like breast reduction, costume wigs. I mean, total in 2012, 11 of the 12 cancer drugs approved by the FDA were over $100,000 a year.
Incredible.
And because of all that stuff they talked about, They did a study up in Washington State, and it was done between 95 and 09. For that 15-year time period, if you were diagnosed with cancer, you were 2.5 times more likely to file for bankruptcy.
Wow. So it has an economic impact as well. And I'm kind of suspect that this whole COVID thing and stamping someone, that there's an economic benefit to the hospital somehow, some way, you know, there's got to be some incentive. I don't understand why they have to tell, if they died of cancer, why does it have to be marked COVID?
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too is, you know, I've talked to some of my friends at Costco that work in the pharmacy. One of a good friend of mine, she's a pharmacist. And this is really kind of where Nick comes in the conversation, but they have no control over this. The pharmacy you go to, they don't have any control.
Well, and I want to get into kind of big pharma when we come back from this break. I want to talk a little bit about that. And Nick, I want to bring you into the conversation
yes.
about the pharmacy aspect. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Thursday and every day. We'll be back.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning.
Good morning, Salem. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, 1220 AM, 104.3 FM, and online streaming at KSLM.news. Hi, I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to have you along for the conversation this morning. I want to say thank you to Bill Sunderland with Country Financial, Sunderland Agency, for being a morning show sponsor. Bill can help you and come alongside of you any of your insurance needs. And if you want a financial, kind of put your financial plan together, he's very good at that. Give him a call, 503-885-0789. Just before the break, we were talking here with my friends Baron and Nick. We're talking about kicking cancer in the donkey and talking about numbers and stats and the impact not only on us emotionally and our families and needing support, but also the economic impact. And Nick, I know that you have a background and you've worked in the pharmaceutical area and the pharmacy area, retail. You know, one of the concerns that I have and one of the questions I have, and I've been on a board of a health clinic, kind of a community health clinic. I did that for about 4.5 years. At one point, I was the board president back in South Dakota, and I was always intrigued and somewhat troubled by the pharmaceutical reps that would come in and almost try to influence or woo, very much like lobbyists do in Congress, the doctors and the staff, the nurses, to promote their brand of whatever to be given to the customer or the client or the patient, right? And it's a real thing, isn't it? I don't think everyday folks know that these, in a sense, legal drug pushers have an economic, they give economic reward to these physicians. Is that just a myth? Is that just my perspective that's off? Or do you know anything about that?
No, that's absolutely correct. The drug representatives come in and they give the doctors samples of medications that are supposed to be, you know, drug related or blood pressure related or whatever it is, something new on the market. And they give these samples and the doctors give the samples to the patients And then the patient may take, you know, take the drug for 5 or 6 days and realize it starts working, so the doctor writes a prescription for the drug. Then they'll also give them a coupon card, which knocks the price down to something more affordable, but they don't realize that the doctors don't know the cost of the actual medication. I mean, we're talking hundreds of dollars sometimes in, like, cancer-related drugs, thousands of dollars, and the doctor's not aware of that cost, and neither is the patient most of the time, because when they get their little slip of paper, it's their copay,
right,
or their deduct, you know, their whatever their percentage they're supposed to pay. And part of that problem is that most people, like people on Medicare, for say, have certain tiers that the insurance will cover, and there's certain tiers that the insurance will not cover. A lot of the cancer medications are not covered. So let's say a patient needs to be on a drug. Doctor writes a prescription for it, brings it into the pharmacy. We try and bill the insurance. The insurance says, no, this is too expensive. Try something else. But this is a drug this patient needs to start taking today.
Oh, boy.
And 48, 72 hours later, maybe a full week later, we finally get the prior authorization through the insurance to actually cover this drug. But now they're a week behind on taking this medication.
Wow.
What effect is that having on that person? That's a big step. And you guys were mentioning the cost of drugs during your cancer and during, you know, during the procedures and things like that. But there's at least 3 or 4 drugs out there that people take every day after they're done with cancer.
Wow.
And that's still included in the cost. I mean, that's not included in the book, but you got to think, you know, financially, that's going to affect them the rest of their lives. And we're not talking cheap drugs. We're not talking generic drugs.
Well, I know just in my own personal experience with my dad, who had a sudden incident when he was in his early 50s around his heart. Fortunately, he's a veteran, had never utilized any of the VA and that support system and that medical care system. Had he not served, the economic impact of having to be all these years now on medication and all these procedures and things would have been devastating to them financially. And that's just in a heart-related thing. I can't imagine with the cancer and trying to prevent it from coming back and staying in remission.
Correct.
And all of those things. So these are real-life situations, real-life impacts that people are going through. And so, Nick, you've been involved in Kicking Cancer, and don't you just love the fact that we're on the ground helping individuals raise funds for those costs that might not be covered by their insurance or copay, you know, even with a copay and things like that, right?
Right. I do. I love it. I love the fact that, you know, now we have accessibility to social media, which, you know, we've branched out to how many countries now are involved in Kicking Cancer that you've seen pictures from, Darren?
13
countries.
Yeah. 13
wow.
countries for a small little organization in Oregon.
And amazing. And cancer doesn't pick favorites. We see it in every culture and every, you know, family has somehow.
You're talking about cultures. Mm-hmm. One of the countries that has reached out through social media is there's a guy in Haiti that found Kicking Cancer on social media. And so I just ask you, now you realize Haiti's a small country and it's an island split in half. The Dominican Republic is on the east side and Haiti's on the west side. And everyone I've talked to says once you cross the border, the economy drops dramatically in Haiti. Haiti's much poorer than the Dominican Republic. But 30% of the Haitian people have cancer.
Crazy. Crazy. And that goes into the prevention side. Now let's talk a little bit about what Kicking Cancer is doing for education, prevention, all of that. Because again, kind of like the pandemic and early on, and about once a month, I try to have someone talking about health and what we can do to stay in control of our own health to make sure cancer is a word that we don't even have to contend with personally by eating right, moving, exercise. And Baron, quite frankly, I'm a little concerned about the fact that people aren't able to get to the gym and do these things. And I know gyms are now open, but you have to wear a mask, and there's no motivation or incentive to reward folks. And I think it's counterintuitive in a sense to say wear a mask at the gym when the people need to be working out and need to be exercising. That builds the immune system.
And your listeners can't see this, but you know, Nick's a basketball player. He's very tall. And the last thing anyone built like Nick wants to do is go to the gym and put a mask on to work out.
Correct.
You know, that's just not the way someone who likes to work out, you don't want to put a mask on or a face shield to work out. And I don't. I haven't been in the gym since this thing started. I work out at home. I run around my neighborhood. But I like going to the gym.
Right.
And there's a social aspect that goes with it as well. And if this is, well, it is. This is a lung-borne illness.
Mm-hmm.
If you are actively working your lungs in the gym, you know, your odds of getting it are even smaller.
Right.
Everything about the gym rules make no sense to me.
Well, and the gyms that I've been a part of have always been so sanitized. And you know,
before
you get
this
off,
hit.
Get off the equipment, get on the equipment, make sure it's wiped down. Everything was very, they were already doing their part. And that's very frustrating to me. And I really miss it, by the way. And now we're getting into the rainy season, you know, where you're not able to walk and do those things outside as easily, you know. But I think kicking cancer with our heart of our program and the education and the prevention and all of that is important, you know. And I want to kind of go back to the fact that during this pandemic, you know, that people who have been diagnosed, they're not getting the care that they need. And I think you have kind of another story for us.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
So on a quarterly basis, we call it a Go Team program.
Mm-hmm.
The first Go Team was Brenda. It was Go Team Brenda.
Mm-hmm.
And then it progress from there. The current one is, her name is Jennifer Beaumont. She lives in Albany.
Mm-hmm.
And towards the end of 2019, she was short of breath, thought maybe she had pneumonia, you know, just those type of symptoms. To the start of this year, early on, she went in and they were pretty sure that she had pneumonia. But then the pandemic hit and that wasn't a high priority.
Mm.
And so March and April, nothing. In May, she finally gets a chance to go into the doctor, and she has heart and lung issues.
Mm.
So it's not just pneumonia. And then July the 15th, they finally did a biopsy. Now this is delayed half of this year because of the pandemic. So they finally do the biopsy on July the 15th, and not even going to try to pronounce this as a Latin word, but basically she has lung cancer.
Oh, no.
But not, and so they went in to remove some of the lymph nodes. But this is the weird thing is, she has three separate tumors, and they're all pathologically different.
Hmm.
So she doesn't have one case of lung cancer. She has three cases of lung cancer.
Incredible.
But I guess the frustrating part for me is she was exhibiting some pneumonia symptoms at the end of last year, the start of this year. And as opposed to dealing with this, this isn't COVID. This isn't a high priority. We're going to put you on the back burner. And it was July before she found out that she has lung cancer. What could they have done if they could have stepped in 7 or 8 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Because on the 25th of September, she started chemotherapy, and now they're doing radiation. And again, does she need everything? Do you have to cut the lymph nodes out? Do you have to poison it out with chemo? Do you have to do radiation? I'm not an oncologist. I don't know. But she's getting the full dose. And I'm sure by Christmas, she's going to be glad that 2020 is done.
So what do we do? What are we doing to help her?
So the cool thing is that she works for the baseball team in Corvallis. They're called the Corvallis Knights.
Mm-hmm.
And we're pulling together some restaurants through Corvallis. And we're going to change. We're dropping the K. So we're having Corvallis Evenings or Corvallis Nights.
Mm-hmm.
You just go eat at whatever place. And we're lining all of them up right now. But you'll go out and eat, and they'll donate to Kicking Cancer so that they can get the tax deduction, and we'll give a check back to Jennifer. The color for lung cancer is white, and she works for a baseball team, and they play at Goss Stadium, which is where OSU plays. So when we give her the check, we're going to bring her to the pitcher's mound. Everyone's going to show up. Someone's going to pay for it. We'll get a business down there in Corvallis pay for it, and you're going to get a white stocking cap.
Nice.
Because it's cold outside.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone comes in, grab the stocking cap, put it on. She's going to turn around and look back at the stadium. Whatever the social distancing number is, that's how many will be there supporting her through the
fight. I love it.
We're about whiteout.
Whiteout for Jennifer and helping and supporting her. Practical help right here in our own community. Kicking cancer in the donkey.
In the donkey.
Yes. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. If you have a question for Barron this morning, we'll open up the phone lines, 503-589-1220. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. If you're thinking about buying or maybe selling your home, maybe you've been renting and you're thinking maybe it's a good time with these interest rates to transition into my own home, I want to encourage you to get a hold of Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group here in Willamette Valley. They're ready to go above and beyond to serve you. Give them a call, 503-939-7099. We're going to open up the phone lines this morning. We've been having a great conversation with Baron and Nick about kicking cancer in the donkey and how people are being affected real life up close with the issue of cancer and what we can do to come alongside, bring support, encouragement, truth, and just an awareness, particularly in this political season. Let's go ahead and open up the phone lines and see who we have. Good morning. You're on the morning show with Stacey Ann. Who am I talking to today?
I think you're talking to me.
Yes, I am. Okay. Who is this?
I'm Rebecca.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Thank you.
I have a feedback in my phone, but I'm going to try to ignore it.
Are you on your speaker or on up to your head like a normal phone?
I'm on my speaker.
Speakerphone will give you a little bit of feedback, so just hold it up to your ear. That's just a little hint to those who call in. How's that?
Okay. All right.
Okay, go.
So, who was diagnosed, who had sarcoma.
Uh-huh.
And he was given 2 months to live, and he was told that he did have surgery, they took it out. And then he was told that after everything they could do for him, his chance of dying would go from 95% to 85%. So he went with his wife and acquired the virus therapy. And we're restricted in America from doing anything. The doctors can't tell us about these other things. They can only do the chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery.
Mm.
But he is cancer-free.
Fantastic.
And it's from the virus therapy. And there's a book called Why the Amish Go to Mexico for Cancer Treatment.
I've heard of that book, and I know people who've gone to Mexico for treatment as well.
And the treatment is incredibly less expensive than all the things that the doctors are pushing us toward. And I just feel like if we're going to kick cancer, we need to encompass these other things that are very effective.
Exactly.
It's terrible watching them try to tell other people about this therapy. And the people don't believe them, and they believe their doctors, and then they die.
One of the best things that people who are getting a cancer diagnosis that they can do is go get another opinion. I think that's very important if they can even afford that. Are you hearing that? Thank you, Rebecca, by the way, for calling in, and I look forward to when I get to meet you face-to-face soon, okay?
Thank you.
Have a great morning.
One of the things that you said a second ago, Stacey, is getting that second opinion. You have to realize that it took. Now, there's always exceptions to the rule, but generally speaking, it takes years for that cell to grow big enough for them to even see it and realize that it's cancerous. So, if the doctor says do this, get on a fast track, do this, you have time. You know, again, my wife's very best friend died in 3 days, but those are the exception to the rule. Generally speaking, if you get the diagnosis, get a second opinion, because it took a long time for the cell to get big enough to even realize it was cancerous.
Well, and my concern is, and of course, we're not doctors, and so we're not diagnosing or giving treatment advice here. We're just saying this is real life up close. These are what people are telling us. These are their stories. And what I found to be true in my life of the people that have had cancer, when they've gone aggressive against it, maybe they've even found it early, sometimes their side effects from the treatment is worse than the threat of the cancer. And it makes me question. It makes me question again the motivation. And I think the second opinion and a second approach oftentimes brings perspective, you know, and the more the merrier. But oftentimes insurance, and again, it goes back to the economics,
impacts those decisions that are being made. And I think there's some things that we can do by bringing support, bringing our referrals, bringing the information forward. It really does make a difference. And I love what Rebecca said, that there are alternatives. There are people who are hitting it naturally without the chemicals. They're changing their diet. They're adding exercise for the first time. There's a well-rounded way to kick cancer in the donkey, isn't there?
There's one alternative that many don't even realize was started here in Oregon. Down at OSU, back in the 60s, there was a guy named Linus Pauling. Mm-hmm. Now, there's actually a building named after him now. It's the Linus Pauling Institute building. But he theorized 50 years ago that high doses of liquid vitamin C would kill cancer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Brenda did.
Fantastic.
And when she sent me the pictures, because I didn't understand enough back then, but I just saw this needle in her. You know, I thought that she was getting chemotherapy. No, she was getting high doses of liquid vitamin C, and that's what killed the cancer.
Incredible. And so I think it's important that we stay connected, that we stay informed. We have all kinds of information on the website. Talk to us about the website. Where do they go?
Go to kicking-cancer.org. There's several tabs. There's resources. There's stories. We're building this website as we talk, and so there's more stuff on there for you.
So coming up on the 17th, we only have about a minute here. Tell us what's going on in the 17th.
Go to Volcano Stadium and just join one of the teams. There are multiple colored shirts, yellow, blue, orange. Just be part of this walk. This is a walk of awareness. You're going to walk for your loved one that day.
I think that's awesome. So check-ins at 8 a.m. on the 17th at the stadium. It kicks off at 9.
Yep.
And then on November 1st.
This is the fun thing for us. Annually, this is our second one. Annually, we do a golf-a-thon. This is our big fundraiser. Thank you, Nick, for your $50 pledge.
Woohoo!
So Stacy's on our board, and Stacy's out here with us. We're just getting pledges. Pledge a dollar amount, and then we're going to go we're going to smash 100 golf balls. So personally, I pledge $2 a ball. But whatever you can do, whatever mm-hmm. you can pledge, this is our big fundraiser.
Well, and the exciting thing is it's a fun event, builds awareness, builds some funds. We can build up those matching funds, you know, get the organization launched. What a great opportunity. If you want to be a sponsor or if you want to be a participant,
yeah.
you want to hit golf balls and be on my team.
Yep.
Go to kicking-cancer.org and look for the golf-a-thon. And when you fill out that form,
and your team is growing rapidly.
I know. Put in Stacy Ann. Wouldn't that be fun to have a whole team of us kicking cancer and hitting golf balls? This will be a first for me. So I'm excited about it, but I'm a little nervous. It'll be good. So I certainly appreciate your time and being here. Thank you, Nick, for your time and your perspective and
Thank
what you do in the community. Thank you for being a part of the Kicking Cancer crew.
Thank you.
It's awesome. And so, Baron, as we launch the next few weeks and doing some things out in the community, stay strong and keep smiling, my friend.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And thank you for being part of the board, by the way. Your perspective is greatly appreciated.
Well, we're excited to be a part of something that's changing lives and impacting lives here
Even
locally.
Even if I have to get body slammed to do it.
Oh, my goodness. That's a whole other story for
but
another
the music's
day.
Music's starting. I was saved by the music
you
here.
You were saved by the music. Oh, motivated by helping people. That's what I like about you, Baron. Thank you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, over, under, around, or through. No matter what we're facing today, we are overcomers. Thank you for tuning into this first hour. We'll be transitioning into hour two here after the top of the hour break. We're going to be talking to FEMA, finding out how we can help families and businesses impacted by the wildfires in our state. We'll be back. Have a blessed day.